Well, amen. Dr. Barber said if he gets that thing tuned up, he's going to be able to play it too someday. That was good, wasn't it? That's different. And that's good. And we appreciate it. Well, that sort of leads itself to the title of the message, What's So Funny? You know, we laugh, and their laughter can be good, but laughter sometimes is because of joy or merriment. We laugh, something funny. You look over at somebody and you say, well, what are you laughing about? And they tell you, and you say, oh, that's funny. You laugh. But sometimes it's a scornful laugh. It's a laugh like, oh, yeah. And you laugh a little bit as if, well, I really don't think so. And I really can't believe that. Well, I want you to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 17, if you would. Genesis chapter 17. And we want to look briefly at Abraham and Sarah. Their laughter was not so much of merriment, but perhaps more of doubt and scorn a little bit. And the really underlying theme of the message is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? Genesis 17, let's begin at verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He laughed, and he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? He's like saying, God, you do understand I'm 100. And you do understand that she's 90 years of age. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. Indeed, thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now go to chapter 18. Verse 1, we'll read through these very hurriedly. You follow along. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent court in the heat of the day, or in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. The wives always like that when unexpected company shows up, don't they? And he said, hey, cook something fast. I like this kind of host, by the way. And so he said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where's Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now underscore that in your mind, maybe in your Bible. A good question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he, I believe it was the Lord, one of these three that was there, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. She laughed in her heart. Abraham laughed out loud. And God, the Lord, knew about both of them laughing. But he asked the question here, and it's a good question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And we know that the Bible tells us that Isaac was born. Amen? He was born, even at their age, because it was God's plan in God's covenant relationship, and he was born just like God said, although everything natural about their bodies and the whole circumstances, all of it would say that it'll never happen. And even they thought it'll never happen. It's not going to happen. Is anything too hard for God? I believe this. God gets pleasure in doing hard things. By the way, that's where I think he gets most of his glory and most of his honor. The greatest honor and glory that God gets is when he does those what we call impossible things in our lives, which are really not impossible to God. There's nothing too hard or difficult for God. And here are our thoughts. There is no promise. There is not one promise that God will not honor and cannot honor. Not one. And we are told by some there are maybe 33,000 promises. Some say 30,000, somewhere in there. Depends on how you count them. But we know there are a lot of promises in the Word of God. Many of them. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby given unto us exceeding and great promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have been given exceeding and precious and great promises. I believe today there's a promise to meet every need that you have. Every need you have, think of it. There is a promise that God has given in his word to meet that need. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Some men will lie to you, and probably all of us have at least lied some in our life, especially to our mothers and daddies at some point. But God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He's not going to have to go back on his word. He, or hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The whole theme here is, yes, God is going to keep his word, his promises. He'll never have to apologize for any of them. He'll never have to say, I'm sorry, I intended to keep that promise, but I just could not keep that promise. That's not God. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Boy, I'm glad that's in there. God promises eternal life if you'll receive him as your Savior. Do you have it today? It is a gift. It's yours. He's promised if you'd ask him, he'd give it to you. So believe what he says. Don't be trying to get to heaven. Accept the gift of eternal life. There is no promise. All of the promises that God cannot keep. Not only that, there's no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. What prayer could you pray that is too hard for God to answer? Why are we so reluctant to take all of these things to the Lord in prayer? We shouldn't be. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. We are good at confessing everybody else's faults, but we ought to do it one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. Do what? Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I still believe God can heal. And he doesn't need a divine healer person. that says, send me your money. If you send me your money, I'll get you healed. He can heal it without anybody in between. But it is important that we pray the effectual, I mean genuine from the heart, effectual, fervent prayer of a saved person, a person living for the Lord, a righteous man or woman. That prayer is going to be heard by God. God can hear that prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that you don't even think of. How many of you believe that's true? Say amen. Amen. Call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God is able to do that. And we need to kick prayer in gear and know that he can take care of it. He invites us to pray in all circumstances, whatever they may be. And he promises to answer. One of my favorite verses, two of them, is Philippians 4:6-7. And that's been a very comforting of those verses to me. And he's simply saying, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And it's with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And then he says that God is the one who is in charge and he'll supply all of our needs. And he'll give us peace. The peace that is a peace you cannot explain to anybody else in the world. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. See, we need to pray. And God will answer prayer. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but take it to God in prayer. God can handle your prayer. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever, that's a big word, and it means anything, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He's saying that if you're saved and walking in fellowship with him, walking in his will, you have a right to expect God to perform miracles. Oh, but we're not charismatic. We don't believe in miracles. Oh, yes, we do believe in miracles. God is still in the miracle working business. God can work a miracle today. Ask Hannah. Hannah wanted a baby. And she prayed and went to the temple and begged God. The priest said, she's drunk. He accused her of being drunk. And she said, no, I'm just getting a hold of God. I'm just praying. I'm calling on God. I want a baby. And God gave her a baby. And oh, what a great saint and prophet he was, a man of God. And God gave her this man of God, Samuel, who went and served in the temple. And you know how she got him? She was on her knees praying, praying, praying. God worked a miracle. She was barren. Her womb was barren. But God worked a miracle. There's no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. How long has it been since there's something that God answered, a prayer he answered in your life that you know that nobody else or nothing else could have taken care of that need? Could have answered that prayer but God. Nobody but God. How long? Can you go back and just think of one of those in the not too distant past and say, yeah, God did that. It seemed like there was no way around it. There was no way through it, no way over it, no way under it. It just, God had to do it and your prayer was answered. God did something for you that nobody else could do. Not your wife, not your husband, nobody, the preacher, nobody else could do it. There are some things that only God can do. Only God can save your soul. I can't save you. I've had people say after I led them to the Lord, I'm glad you saved me. And I said, wait, let me explain a little something to you. And I'm very gracious about it, but I say, now understand, I did not save you. Who saved you? God did. There's no pope, there's no priest, there's no bishop, there's no preacher, there's no evangelist, there's nobody in this world can save you but God. Amen. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can do that for you. And if you're not saved today, He wants to do it for you. He'll be glad to do it for you. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, if you leave this building today and get killed, where are you going to go? You say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven, or maybe so. If you don't know that, listen, God can save you today. It is a miracle that you're brought from spiritual death to spiritual life through the Lord Jesus Christ. God can save you. God's the only one could get Peter out of jail. I mean the Roman soldiers. And I mean they were strict. The jailer knew that if he let Peter get out of jail, or any of the people that were in jail, that he could die as a result of that. Same way with Paul. And it was the situation where only God could do it. You remember the little girl at the door, and he went and knocked on the door and said, hey, here I am, I'm out of jail. And they said, well, this can't be. Well, what are the people doing in there? What are they doing in there? Well, they're praying that you get out of jail. You see, God can work miracles. We have a big God. We have an all-powerful God. And Peter, and I want to say this very graciously, but Peter was not on Valium in the prison. I knew that would get quiet. I'd lost my amens right there. I'm not anti-medicine, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are on antidepressants, Valium, and all the rest, and they don't need to be. You need to turn it over to God and let God handle it. I know there's some extreme situations, but most of the ones I'm familiar with, if we just turn it over to God, we don't need the sleeping pills. What we need is God. Another pastor and I took a Christian lady to the old Lester Roloff home in Culloden, Georgia. I don't know, Dr. Barr, if you were ever there, but at that home that was primarily for women. And she became an alcoholic. The last thing she drank was a bottle of Old Spice just to get some alcohol. And of course, family and others got a hold of us, and Dr. Rudy Holland and myself, we drove her there, both of us together. And I said, how in the world? She showed us her Bible, and her Bible had the names of 30 or 40 people she had led to the Lord. Her brother was an independent Baptist pastor in that area. She had been a great soul winner, but at a certain time in her life, she was having a hard time going to sleep. And her husband, who was not saved, said, drink a little jigger of whiskey every night. And she started doing that in order to go to sleep, and she became an alcoholic. Now, thank God she went there, and everything turned out all right. And I'm sure she has won a lot of souls. I don't know. I have no contact with her now. I'm just simply saying to you, she would have been far better off whatever else she did. She would have been far better off to have depended on God, turned it over to God, let God handle it, and some other things, rather than doing that and going against the principle of the Word of God. And too many times we have crutches in our purses and pocketbooks to lean on when we should be leaning on Almighty God, who can answer any prayer that you have. And everybody has need sometimes of a supernatural intervention. Don't be afraid of the word supernatural. God is a supernatural God. He goes above and beyond the natural. That's God. That's why He's God. There's some things that I'm praying about in my own life right now that I know it's going to take a supernatural work of God in order for it to turn out the way I trust it'll turn out. Don't you wonder what it is? I'm not going to tell you. God knows, I know, and that's enough. Of course, my wife would know some of them. But there are things that only God can take care of. Only God can pull it off. So there's not a promise He cannot hear. There's not a prayer He cannot answer. There's no problem too hard for the Lord to solve. As I said earlier, He loves to solve big things and hard things and great things. What kind of problems do you have today? Health problems? God can solve it one way or the other. It's not always God's will to heal. And the aging process goes on. It is appointed unto man once to die. And you're not going to stop that unless the rapture comes. All of that's part of life, the reality of life. But many times there are people who are sick because they haven't turned it over to God. And God can heal your body. God can touch your body. Now, a lot of us, I think God would say, now, you need to do some things yourself, and then I'll dive in there and help you. You need to watch your diet and so on and so forth and those things. But God can help, and God can heal. And I never thought of this way before, but I heard Dr. Barber saying one time, God always heals. You pray and answer prayer, and you're praying for somebody that is at death's door, and they die. Are they healed? They're healed. They go to be with Jesus. So he always answers that prayer. But sometimes it is his prayer to heal your body and extend it. What about finances? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I grant you there are a lot of people in this building who are up against it financially. Now, there's some basic things we should do. And if we don't do them, we're going to have some problems. But I know God is gracious, and God can meet your financial need today, whatever it is. I would suggest to you, you'd be wise to tithe and give, because I believe that obligates God, if we can put it that way, a little more than those who do not. And you can't expect God to bless you if you're going to be a thief. Amen? How about a job, unemployment? Can God give you a job? He can. Well, I prayed and he didn't give it to me yesterday, or he didn't give it to me this week yet. God has a purpose. God has a reason. God's doing what God's doing. But God, at his time, when it's the right time, he will have no problem giving you a job. And you just keep praying and trust it. You think it's too hard for God to give you a job? What about relationships? What about that marriage problem? There's some people in this church, there are couples, I'm sure, that are having some difficulties. There's some that just think there's no use. It's a dead end. Where are we going to go from here? Too much has happened. No, my friend, if you turn it over to God, God can work out your marriage problems. Both of you have to turn it over to God. And God specializes in the supernatural. He can do it. Family problems, infidelity, whatever it may be. And then there is no place too hard for the Lord to do his work. There's no place. Where on the face of this globe is it too hard for God to do his work? Nowhere. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere present anyway. And it doesn't matter where you are, if you're in Africa or wherever it may be, the Philippines or South America, or you might be in India. Can God work there? Can God do his work there? And absolutely the answer is he can. I believe God can do his work in America. We've got to pray. We've got to want it. We've got to thirst for it. When my people get burdened enough to cry and weep and get on our faces before God, do you think it's too hard for God to give a revival in America? I don't. Now, I know we have to cooperate and things have to happen and we need to pray and confess and all of that. But it is not too hard for God to give a revival in America. I believe we can still see a revival. Take Nineveh. You think we're wicked. The Ninevites were really wicked. The Assyrians and all the things that they did. My dear friend, God gave a revival to them. It is not too hard for God. Do you think, and this is going to be an implied statement, but do you think that God can give a revival to Worth Baptist Church? I believe he can. Nothing is too hard for God. Now, the implication is there that we might need a revival, and from time to time, we all need a revival. And I believe all churches, from time to time, need to experience the touch of God, the hand of God, the pouring out of his power upon us. But we need to be thirsty for it and hunger for it and desire it and admit it that we need it. And admit that we need to break out of our Laodiceanism and our lukewarmness. One thing God hates is lukewarmness. He said, I'd rather you were cold or hot but I don't want lukewarmness. He says, it makes me sick to my stomach. You see, God can do it. And there's no place too hard for God. I hear preachers whining all the time. My place here, can't do anything here, can't do anything there. And evangelists, and we all, we say it's just too hard. It's the hardest field in the world. And I know some are a little harder than others maybe. But let me tell you something, God can still do it. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Quit depending on your right hand. Depend on his right hand. The right hand of my righteousness. God can give revival here in your own personal life, in Fort Worth, the Metroplex. God can give revival. We've got to want it. And then there's no person, I'm glad to report this one to you, there's no person too hard for the Lord to save. Not a person in the world that has gone so far away from God, gone so deep into sin. I know there's an atrophying and a hardening of the heart and all of that, but as long as there's life and long as there's a will and they'll exercise that will, the Bible says whosoever will can be saved. That's general, whosoever. And he teaches that all people should come to repentance. Well, why do you need repentance? Because we're all sinners and we all need to repent and trust Christ at the simultaneous work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God can save anybody if they'll just come to him. Friend, you have, no matter what you have done, God can save you. You say, well, I'm just too bad. I've done too many bad things. How can God ever forgive me? I had a preacher one time I was going in. He was in control of the pastors that came in. He was the head honcho chaplain. And I was going up to a guy who was on his deathbed. And he said, do you have somebody pretty sick? I said, yes, I do. I said, he's in intensive care. He's close to death. But I'm going to go try to win him to the Lord. He said, oh, man, you're too late. You can't win him to the Lord. He's past the time where he can get saved. And he and I had a little discussion about that. And I went up and led the man to Christ. It's never too late and you never sin too much. God can save you. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. And let me tell you, unsaved people are thirsty. You don't have it. You don't have the peace. You don't have the joy. Just like Brother Knight was saying a while ago in his prayer. You just don't have it. If you're not saved, you don't have all that. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, I'm glad for that. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. He's saying, come on, I love you, I'll forgive you, I'll save your soul if you'll come. There is no person too hard for the Lord to save. Now let me ask you, what hard thing do you have today? What difficult thing is in your life? What is it that you're dealing with, struggling with, whatever it may be? That sin that does so easily beset you, say, I just can't get over it. Yes, you can. There's nothing too hard. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What hard things do you have? What difficulties, what challenges? God wants to perform those hard things for you. Just call on him and believe that he'll do it. He wants faith and he expects holiness out of us. He expects us to be in his will, walking in his will, faith and holiness, trusting him. Is anything too hard for God? Take your situation. Don't laugh. It's not too hard for God. He can save you. He can meet your need. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, and I know sometimes we feel like, well, that's impossible, and we just want to sort of laugh about it and say, there's just no way. But, old friend, God is able. Is anything too hard for God? No. That lost family member to get saved? No. Is anything too hard for God? No. May God help you to bring your burden, your challenges, your heartache to him. And if you're not saved, to come to him and trust him as Savior. He'll save you today. It's not too hard for him. And dear friend, God's leading you to this church. May God help you to come and join with us as we try to serve Him. Father, oh God, we know You have all power. Nothing is too hard for You. Whatever our needs are today, whatever our challenges, whatever our burdens may be, whatever our heartaches may be, nothing is too hard for You. Help us to believe it by faith, to claim it, to pray, to ask for Your help and to watch You work. I pray for unsaved people they'd be saved. May You speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.